150, a few verses, it says, "Praise the Lord, praise God in His sanctuary, praise Him in His mighty heavens, praise Him for His acts of power, praise Him for His surprising and surpassing greatness." That's our God that we serve. Amen. It's good to be in the house of God together. Father, Your blessing on this service today, on this first day of 2017, I pray, Lord, that You'll just bless this service, anoint this service with Your power, and may we receive from You together today in praise, in worship, in the Word. Lord, You're here, Lord, and may we just have a great understanding of how awesome and great You are. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. On this first Sunday 2017, we come for this special time of communion. As I was singing this last song and thought about the grace of God, what He's done for us, I recognize the power there is in the blood of the Lamb to change, to cleanse, to make us whole. He did it all for us, didn't He? He sacrificed His life upon Calvary, that we might have forgiveness, restoration, healing, and wholeness in our life. So we're going to pause, take time out right now, just to remember our Lord. While Angela's playing, I just want us to take a moment. I want you to stop and think how the Lord was with you in this past year, and thank Him in your heart for what He's done for you. Shall we do that? Let's pray. Father, as the communion was being passed out, I thought about You meeting with Your disciples and how they were there gathered with You. But I think down through the years, as they went out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ, how they were bold, how they gave their lives, how they impacted many for Jesus Christ. And Lord, we are Your disciples. On this first Sunday of this new year, we are here. And Lord, may we partake, because Your living presence is here. May we go out of this building impacting people, Lord, down through the weeks of this year, Lord, that people will know Jesus Christ. May we be bold like the disciples before, because we are Your disciples today. And may we disciple others. May we show forth Your love, Lord, and Your mercy and Your grace, Lord, to others around us, that they may see Jesus also. So when we partake together, may we stop and think of Your blood that was shed, Your life that was given, Your body that was broken, all because of mankind and for me, Lord, and others here that are under the sound of My voice. May we be blessed because of You today. Amen.
Happy New Year, everybody. We are at the time of year where people tend to want to make changes in their life. They want to do this different, or they want to do that different. They want to change this, or they want to change that. Or they want to be like this year, or be like that this year. You know, it's a time, we tend to look at it as humans, we look at it as a time of renewal. If we're not happy with something, this is kind of that point of the year where we say, well, you know what, I'm going to be a little different this year. I'm going to do something a little different. And, you know, we model ourselves, whether we think about it or not. Some really truly do think about it. They think about who they want to model themselves after, whether they're an athlete, if they play basketball or football or baseball. Young men and women will pick out an athlete, and they'll try to model themselves after that athlete. Or maybe you're a singer, and there's a particular style of music that you like. We tend to have certain artists that we like. And musicians, if you listen to any musician that's been around for any length of time, very successful musicians, they'll all say, well, you know, I was influenced by so-and-so. They influenced the way I saw music, the way I play music, the way I hear music and see music. So we all have influences. And I ran across, it's been several months ago, in one of my studies, I ran across this, I don't know what you call it. It was a study on David. And, you know, God said that David was a man after his own heart. So in the new year, if we want to be more like David, if we want to be that person that God says, you're after my own heart, then maybe we should take a little bit closer look at David. Now, I will tell you, there's a lot in the Bible about David. Go back and read 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. What a story. What a life David led. Amazing the things that he went through. Some of the hardships caused by himself. Some of the hardships caused by God dealing with other people like Saul. But God said, David was a man after my own heart. And I found this, like I said, it was probably back in August when I saw this, and I knew I wanted to speak on it at some point in time. And I took some notes, and we moved. So I found some of the notes, but I didn't find all of them. Now, what had happened was, and I'm almost positive, I want to say it's Chuck Swindoll, and I want to give credit where credit is due. He took a Psalm of David and a Psalm 86, which is what we're going to look at today. And he broke it down, what he calls a recital of requests, a recital of reasons, a recital of recognitions, and a recital of resolutions. So I thought, in this time of the year when we're all making resolutions, why don't we take a look at David, and maybe we can resolve to be a little more like him. The good David. In the coming year. So we're going to look at Psalm 86. A prayer of David. Hear me, Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am faithful to you. Save your servant who trusts in you. You are my God. Have mercy on me, Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, Lord, for I put my trust in you. You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. When I am in distress, I call to you because you answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead. Wow, there's a lot in there. That's just one of David's psalms, one of his prayers to the Lord. So what we're going to do, we're going to go back and look at it, and we're going to start out with the recital of requests. So if you look at Psalm 86, there are some requests that David makes, request of the Lord. Verse 1, hear me, Lord, and answer me. This is a request that David is making of God. Hear me, Lord, and answer me. Matthew 21, verse 21 and 22. This is Jesus speaking. Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, This is. Let me put a little context here. This is right after Jesus had destroyed the fig tree. He says, "Truly I tell you, if you have faith and do not doubt, not only can you do what was done to the fig tree, but also you can say to this mountain, 'Go throw yourself into the sea,' and it will be done. If you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer." David said, "Hear me, Lord, and answer me." That was his first request to God. "Hear me, Lord, and answer me." Second request, verse 2, he says, "Guard my life." Guard my life. "Hear me, Lord, answer me. Guard my life." John 17:11. "I will remain in the world no longer." Again, Jesus speaking. "I will remain in the world no longer. But they," meaning us, believers and disciples, "they are still in the world. And I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. Hear me, Lord. Answer me. Guard my life." The third request he makes is also in verse 2. "Save your servant who trusts in you." He didn't ask for a new chariot. He didn't ask for a new sword. He said, "Save your servant who trusts in you." I imagine David had to say that many times in his lifetime, for all the times he was on the run from Saul, hiding in the wilderness, hiding in the desert, living in caves. "Save me, Lord, for I trust in you." David listened to God. There were two occasions where David could have taken Saul's life. But in everything that David did, he sought the Lord first. And he knew, even though Saul had been delivered into his hands, he knew that's not what the Lord wanted him to do. And he spared Saul's life. God was dealing with Saul on a whole other issue. It affected David. David listened. "Save your servant who trusts in you." His enemy was right there. He cut a piece of his cloak off in the cave. He could have killed Saul at that point in time, but he didn't. He didn't. He put his trust in God. Hebrews 7:24-25 says, "But because Jesus lives forever, he is a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them." Save completely those who come to God through Christ. That's what David asked for. "Save me." The fourth thing that David asked for, verse 3, "Have mercy on me, Lord." "Save me. Have mercy on me, Lord." Luke 1:50. "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." David feared the Lord. He loved the Lord. But read his account. David feared the Lord. The fear that we're talking about, he placed God in a holy and righteous place in his heart. He feared God. That's why he always went to God in everything that he did. I know I don't do that. But if I want God to say, "Randy is a man after my own heart," I need to take a close look at what David did. And David sought God's direction in everything that he did. Now, David was a sinner. Probably one of the worst sinners in the Bible. The things that he did most of us would say are just horrible. Just horrible. But he always went back to God for forgiveness. His heart was contrite. And he went back to God, even in those times when he was sinning. The fifth thing he asked for, bring joy to your servant, Lord. It's in verse 4. Bring joy to your servant, Lord. The sixth thing he asked for, hear my prayer, Lord, in verse 6. It's kind of, he repeats what he said in verse 1. Hear me, Lord, and answer me. Verse 6, he says it again. Hear my prayer, Lord. Verse 6, he also says, listen to my cry for mercy. Again, have mercy on me, Lord, in verse 3. Verse 7, he's following it up. Listen to my cry for mercy, Lord. The eighth thing he asked for is to teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Exodus 33:13 says, if you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this nation is your people. This is Moses talking to God. Teach me your ways that I may know you and continue to find favor with you. Remember that this is your nation of people. The last request that David made was, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. That was verse 11. Give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. See, we've been studying James in the Sunday morning workout, and James talks about a divided heart in there, and how a man is if he's got two loyalties. If his heart is divided, if it's not all for God, if there's something else that is taking the place of God out here, that's a man in trouble. Deep trouble. He says, give me an undivided heart that I may fear your name. You know, if we ask for nothing else in this coming year, in our prayers, I would say that right there is pretty darn important. Lord, give me an undivided heart that I may fear you, that I may know you, that I may come closer to you, that I may walk in your ways, that I may do your will. Father, give me that undivided heart. Let nothing come between me and you. If that's the only thing we pray this year, wow. That's pretty awesome. If we could do that, each and every one of us. So those were David's, in that Psalm 86, so those were his requests that he made of God. There was 9 of them. Then there's the recital of reasons. So David gives some reasons. You know, in verse 1, he said, hear me, Lord, and answer my prayer. He also said, I am poor and needy. I am poor and needy. One of his reasons. James 2:5 says, listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised those who love him. David said, I am poor and needy. In verse 2, he says, I am faithful to you. I am faithful to you. He doesn't say, I am faithful to you most of the time. He's sometimes, on the weekends, on Tuesdays, well, Tuesday nights. I am faithful to you. There's nothing that goes along with that except I am faithful to you. Second Samuel 22:26 says, to the faithful you show yourself faithful. David said, I am faithful to you. God says he is faithful to those that are faithful to him. Verse 3, David says, I call to you all day long. I call to you all day long. Now, I imagine there were some days that David was on his hands and knees in prayer for many hours. But I think what he's really saying here is, I call to you all day long. God, you're always in my heart. In everything I do, Lord, you're right there. I hear you. I listen to you. I'm faithful to you. I come to you, Lord, when I need to make tough decisions. I call to you all day long. The fourth thing he says in verse 4 is, I put my trust in you. That's why you should have mercy on me, Lord. That's why you should listen to me, because I put my trust in you. I am faithful to you, and I put my trust in you. Daniel 6:23. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. Now, this was after Daniel had been thrown into the lion's den. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Daniel spent an entire night with those lions, and not a single scratch was on him because he trusted in his God. And David says, I put my trust in you. If you go back and read about David, when David was just a young boy as a shepherd, in the Bible it tells about how he killed a bear that had come after his flock. And then he had killed a lion. Now this was before he slew Goliath. Just a youngster, a young man. He killed a bear. I don't know if any of you have ever come face to face with a bear in the woods. I grew up, my dad hunted bear. We were in the woods all the time. I've been around a lot of bear. You do not want to face a bear alone. I'm just here to tell you. And yet, David killed a bear. Now, as fierce as a bear is, what about a lion? He killed the lion as well. Before he ever slew Goliath, who stood out there for 40 days mocking the army, before David killed him with a stone and his slingshot. And David said that he knew because he trusted God. He trusted God. The fifth thing for reasons that David gives is, when I am in distress. I call to you because you answer me. It's verse 7. When I am in distress, I call to you and you answer me. Then there's some things that are called recital of recognitions. Things that David recognizes in his prayer to God. First off, verse 2, he says, "You are my God. You are my God." Exodus 20, 2 through 3 says, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me." David says, "You are my God." He recognizes that. The second thing he says as far as recognitions, "You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you." You, Lord, are forgiving and good, abounding in love to all who call to you. That's in verse 5. Nehemiah 9, verse 17 says, "They refused to listen and failed to remember the miracles you performed among them. They became stiff-necked and in their rebellion appointed a leader in order to return to the slavery. But you are a forgiving God, gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. Therefore, you did not desert them." The third thing that David says is, "Among the gods, there is none like you." That's verse 8. Also in verse 8, he says, "No deeds can compare with yours. No deeds can compare with yours." Verse 9, he says, "All the nations you have made will come and worship before you. They will bring glory to your name." Verse 10, he says, "For you are great and do marvelous deeds." Do we recognize these things of our God? Do we? When I say "do we," I'm talking to me. Just doing this, going through this, has made me realize that there's a lot of, I lack in a lot of areas when it comes to my relationship to God. Do we recognize that he does great and marvelous deeds? Verse 10, he says, "You alone are God." Verse 13, he says, "For great is your love toward me." Also in verse 13, he says, "You have delivered me from the depths, from the realm of the dead." There was many times that God delivered David. Many times. And then we get to, finally, the recital of the resolutions. The resolutions. Things that David has resolved to do. It's a new year. Take a look at some of David's resolutions. Maybe it's something you want to resolve to do. Verse 12, he says, "I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart. I will praise you, Lord my God, with all my heart." And then also in verse 12, he says, "I will glorify your name forever." See, David was all in. He had, his heart was not divided. He had an undivided heart. He trusted in God. He believed in God's faithfulness. David was faithful with God. Do you see why God called David a man after his own heart? You can tell in this psalm, that David had a relationship with God. That David talked to God. That David listened to God. That David served God. That he followed God. He had faith in him. He trusted him. So a question for you today. Praise team, come on up. If this is the man that God described as a man after my own heart, okay, what does he say about you? How does God describe you? If God and Jesus were having a conversation and God said, what about that? He's talking to Jesus. He said, Jesus, what about that Jim Olsen guy? What are your thoughts on him? How would you describe him to me? I'm not going to answer that because I'm not Jesus. But but put your name in there. Put your name there. How is Jesus? Because Jesus is going to intercede on our behalf. How is he going to describe you? Are you a man or woman after God's own heart? Or are you divided? You've got 1 foot in the water and 1 foot on the beach. I don't know where I want to be. I challenge you. First of all, I challenge you to go back and read 1 and 2 Samuel. Now, they're long books. But you got to know who David was. If you have any desire to be like him, to be called a man after God's own heart, you got to at least go back and read and know who David was, what his life was about, what he went through. So again, I just say, how would God describe you? Thank you. I love the words of that song. We get a second chance. He does make all things new. Praise God for that. Last time I spoke up here, I talked a little bit. I actually read a little story to you about Bartholomew, one of the disciples, and what happened to Bartholomew. How he gave his life for Christ in the spreading of the gospel. Today I'm going to read a little bit about Thomas, Doubting Thomas. See, all the disciples after Christ had died on the cross and was resurrected, there was no more doubting in them. Especially for Thomas. And they all went out as ambassadors for Christ, as disciples, to spread the gospel. And they chose different areas to go. I don't know how they picked the areas, but Thomas ended up going to India. And I'm going to pick it up here. It says, later, when the disciples traveled throughout the known world to preach the gospel, Thomas was chosen to go to India and North Africa. Although he dreaded living among these savage tribes, God strengthened him, and he was able to convert many in these countries. Around 70 AD, he went to Kalamina, India, where the people worshipped an image of the sun. Through the power of God, Thomas destroyed the image and put a stop to their idolatry. The sun god's priests were furious. They accused him before their king, who sentenced him to be tortured with red-hot metal plates and then thrown into a glowing furnace. To the amazement of all, the fire did not hurt Thomas. He was still alive in the midst of the furnace. When the priests saw this, they were so angry, they threw spears and javelins into the furnace at him. One of the spears pierced his side, and he fell there dead. Again, I haven't been called to do things like that. But the disciples knew. They knew without a shadow of a doubt who they were serving and what they were called to do. They were called to be ambassadors, to be disciples, and to share the gospel. We're called to do the same thing. So let's do it with the same spirit that our disciples did. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day. God, we thank you that we do have a second chance and that all things are new, Lord, in you. I just pray, Father, that you would be with us as we leave here today, that you would strengthen us, Lord. You would strengthen our faith, our trust, and our belief, God, in you. And that you would use us to further the kingdom in whatever manner you desire to use us, Lord. You would give us strength. You would give us wisdom. You would give us an undivided heart, God. And that you would bless us in all that we do. We praise you, Lord. We give you all the honor and glory. And everybody said, Amen.